Race was a big part of the national conversation this year, including in sports, as NFL players and some team owners kneeled during the national anthem to protest police violence against people of color. President Trump, though, blasted them on Twitter and at rallies.
That's a total disrespect of our heritage. That's a total disrespect of everything that we stand for, okay? Everything that we stand for.
Well, the issue of race is not only playing out in professional sports, but also in high school athletics. An Lee Herring of WESA has this report from Pittsburgh.
The same night President Trump first announced protests of NFL players, racial tensions emerged at a football game between Pittsburgh's Perry High School and West Virginia's Brooke High School. Students from Brooke greeted their opponents with a banner that said Trump Perry. The students, who are white, say it was a clever play on the fact that the president's name also means to beat or defeat. But to their visitors from Perry, where 75% of students are black, it was racially insensitive and even intimidating. The incident led to finger-pointing and anger among students and parents from both schools, and ultimately an apology from Brooke's superintendent and an agreement to move on. At Pittsburgh's Obama Academy, members of the soccer team say they often encounter racially charged behavior on the field. Obama is an urban public school where over 70% of students are black. 15-year-old Brandon Sears started playing soccer for Obama this fall, and he remembers the first time an opposing player called him the N-word.
I was shocked, but then again I wasn't, because knowing that I'm black and he's white, something happens.
Sears was tempted to fight, but he didn't. He followed the advice he got at the beginning of the season in a discussion that has become custom for his team, says assistant coach Christopher Thyberg.
Usually, the only thing that we can do is ask the players to try to be the bigger person, which is a very unfair request to tell them, hey, you're going to get racially abused, but you have to, not respond to it.
The captain of Obama Academy's soccer team, 17-year-old Ian Thomas, who is white, says his teammates of color are targeted both verbally and physically.
What would happen is the kid starts talking. He starts talking in his ear, and then that kind of ramps up. It gets more and more intense as the game goes on. Elbows are being thrown. Kids are, stomping, they're cleating each other intentionally, tripping each other.
Thomas acknowledges that it's the nature of competition to take some cheap shots to get into your opponent's head. But something about race, his instincts tell him, crosses the line.
You get on the field, your mindset changes, you get a little more tense, and it gets aggressive. But, I question if it would be different with my players of color that are on the team. Would they be so kind to them outside of the field as they might be to me?
When Brandon Sears was first called a slur by another player, he was angry. Though he'd rather forget about the whole issue, he says it still bothers him.
It does happen a lot. And that's the sad part about it. You're not there to call people names. You're there to compete.
I'm disappointed that sports haven't seemed to help race relations very much.
Larry Davis is dean of the University of Pittsburgh School of Social Work. He's devoted his career to the study of race and social justice and says the performance of black athletes has long been perceived as a challenge to white masculinity. For example, in 1910, when black heavyweight champion Jack Johnson defeated white boxer Jim Jeffries in what was dubbed the fight of the century, race riots broke out across the country. And when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's home run record in 1974, he received thousands of death threats.
It's for sort of dominance of who is the better group. I hate to put it that way, but that's kind of what it's about.
Yet Davis suggests that race relations might actually be worse if it weren't for sports and its ability to facilitate interaction across races. Coach Thyberg of Obama Academy remembers a game where one of his white players joked that a foul against a teammate of color must have been racially motivated. Another player on the bench, Thyberg says, made it a teachable moment.
He wasn't rude or mean-spirited, but he called him out on it and said, "Why is that funny to you?" And had this exchange where he was able to say, it's not funny when this is happening to me on the field. After that, I didn't see it happen again.
But other schools say race continues to be a problem. This fall, a football game near Pittsburgh erupted into a bench-clearing brawl because, according to some of the players, their opponents were hurling racial slurs. In response, the Western Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic League sent a letter to schools condemning racially insensitive comments. Executive Director Tim O'Malley says educators and families must take the lead in correcting unsportsmanlike behavior.
How do you put an end to it? I think from an educational standpoint, there's a responsibility to try to continue to work with the kids in your schools, with your children, to make sure that they understand what is and isn't acceptable.
He says student athletes should be learning sportsmanship, not undermining it. For Here and Now, I'm Anlie Herring in Pittsburgh.